This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Lemberger, and it's my great pleasure to be here today with Dr. Brian T. Lum, who will be at Mile High 4 this August in Colorado, August 18th through 21st. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Dan. Total pleasure to be here.
For those of you who don't know Brian yet, you will have the great pleasure of seeing him in August at Mile High. But, you know, maybe, Brian, share with everybody kind of your chiropractic journey, how you originally got into chiropractic.
Well, it's amazing for me to be able to say this. I can honestly say that I've been involved in chiropractic for almost my entire life. I was about 6 months old when I had my first chiropractic adjustment. Yeah. And the kind of crazy and amazing thing about the story is somehow my mom decided the moment to share that with me was when I was about 3/4 of the way through chiropractic college. And I don't know if you went through this process of like, you know, kind of wondering about your chiropractic history and how am I going to tell my story? And so I thought I'd ask my mom. I mean, I knew I grew up with chiropractic. I remember literally at the, you know, probably around like 9 years old, right around the time where everyone's asking you, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said a chiropractor. And so I knew that at a young age, I had been influenced enough to the degree where I was telling people I wanted to be a chiropractor. Right. What I didn't know was that I pretty much grew up my entire life. So I called on my mom and I was like, when was the first time I had an adjustment? And she said, well, when you were born, you had kind of a respiratory problems. You would like wheeze a lot. We weren't sure if you had asthma. And it kind of got to a point where it was really intensifying. And so she had set up an appointment with the pediatrician for me to go to. And on the way to that appointment, she was going to see the chiropractor.
Wow.
And she was seeing chiropractors for, you know, kind of a lot of the reasons that other people see chiropractors, or for at least, you know, their version of chiropractic, you know, for physical symptoms and such. And my family also kind of used it in that domain. And also, whenever like you got sick, you would go to the chiropractor. So right. I also had that kind of identification that like it was towards health, even though it may not have been like the purest philosophical, you know, beginnings and understanding of it.
Right.
So ultimately, there I am in whatever kind of, you know, baby carrier, and chiropractor's working with my mom. Obviously, he hears my breathing and says, you know, what's up with your son? And so she explains that they're actually, you know, we're on the way to see the pediatrician. And he was like, you know, what would you think about me adjusting your son? And she was like, do you think it could help? And he said, yes, for sure. And so that was when I received my first chiropractic adjustment. And somehow we never ended up going the route of the pediatrician. And, you know, obviously that had a huge impact on me, as by 9, I was telling people that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. And actually, interestingly enough, you shared with me that you also had a very interesting connection that you didn't even know about until later in life of your dad's involvement in some early chiropractic developments, which I think is absolutely fascinating.
Totally, yeah. My whole life, whether I kind of knew it at the time or not, was so interwoven with chiropractic and so influenced by it. Many of my father's good friends were chiropractors. He was an electrical engineer. He had a PhD in engineering, and he worked at NASA, at Ames Research Center, in the Bay Area, which is where I grew up. And being that he was friends with chiropractors, and the conversation would be towards like, you know, how how do we better assess? And, you know, my dad's very much an engineer, so he's constantly thinking in terms of like fixing problems. And he, we went to a Gonstead practitioner. And so, you know, Gonstead uses instrumentation, x-ray, palpation, you know, postural assessments as part of, you know, their way of assessing for subluxation. Right. So he was obviously very familiar with the Nervoscope. And his interest was, is there a better way to assess for subluxation? And he started talking with the chiropractor, and he actually had someone at NASA who was a physiologist. And I believe she was working with kind of like how to, you know, how does the human physiology navigate space and these kinds of things. And so he had access to this person, right. Was, you know, very well educated in
literally a rocket scientist. Yeah.
What's that?
They were literally rocket scientists.
Yeah, totally. Which is funny because this is how the story plays out later, right? So he basically developed this instrumentation, which was an electrical conductance scanner. So basically looking at parasympathetic activity through the electrical activity. And he developed this big version of it. It was kind of a table setting. It had a scanner, and it had a printout and, you know, dials that would read in real time. And he called it, and this is what's so like hilarious to me, it was called the VersaTech. So it's the vertebral subluxation detector. Nice. And so I did not know this. So let's just fast forward years later. So I'm at Palmer in Davenport, and I'm super into Gonstead. When I was at Palmer, I was, you know, involved in the Gonstead Club. I was an officer. I ended up going to Mount Horeb to their seminar series something like 16 times when I was there. Wow. And, you know, they were amazing. You know, Doug and Alex and John Cox were, you know, still teaching at that time period. So I'm in Doug's class, Dr. Doug's class. And, you know, Doug's a storyteller, and he's telling this story about the time when the FDA literally showed up at Gonstead's door. And so he's telling this story, and I have no idea. I'm fascinated by the story.
Right.
So Winnie, who's running the office, comes up to Dr. Doug and says, "Dr. Doug, you got to go talk to Gonstead right now. There's two gentlemen here. They have badges. They're from the FDA, and they have a picture of my dad's instrument, the VersaTech. And they say that this instrument is illegal and that there is no FDA approval and that they need to confiscate the instrument." So Doug goes back to Gonstead, tells him what's going on. And so Gonstead, according to Doug, tells him to go in rooms like, you know, 4 through 8 and pull out all the instruments, because they had one in each room, and shove them in the closet. And then escort the FDA agents back to room 9, where it would be the only room that they left the instrument in. So they go back there, and of course, as the story goes, they come back, they grab the instrument, they take it out of the Gonstead clinic, and Dr. Doug's following and watching this whole scenario, and they have like a 1970 whatever Ford black Lincoln Continental. They open the trunk of the car, and inside the trunk, the only thing that's in there is a sledgehammer. They pull the sledgehammer out, beat the living hell out of the VersaTech, and then say, you know, "You're never to use this instrument again," and speed off. And so, my friend, I'm hearing this story.
It wasn't the FDA. It could have been the mob, for all you know.
Right. I know. It sounds exactly like that.
But that's the way they were doing stuff at the time, the FDA. Yeah.
Right. Totally. So, So I have no idea that this has anything to do with my dad. However, interestingly enough, my really good friend, the chiropractor's name's Dr. Eric Norsling, and his chiropractor growing up was Dr. Doug. So he's, you know, he knows him. He's very familiar with him. And he turns to Dr. Doug and says, "Hey, you know, I think you're talking about my friend's dad." And he points to me, and I kind of look at Eric like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And because Doug says in the story They hired this NASA rocket scientist. Well, I didn't think of my dad as a rocket scientist. He was just dad, right?
Right.
So Doug has his glasses. He tips them down. I said, "Well, son, what's your dad's name? And I said, and so here I am hearing of this story. I get home. I call up my dad and I say, tell him the story. And my dad had no clue. And so years later, I would tell the story to Simon Senzon. And he was like, we got to do a paper on this. So we actually presented a paper at the Association for Chiropractic History. I'm probably butchering that name. Maybe a year ago, 2 years ago in Atlanta on this story and a few other instruments of its kind. And my dad was there. It was totally amazing.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a secret history of chiropractic in the Lum family.
Totally.
You know, it's such a gem, and also how I think that's affected you, even not consciously. I know you as a practitioner. You're obviously outstanding. You're out there lecturing. You're out there teaching. You have an amazing practice, as people can see in the background. There, you have the beautiful mountains and lush greenery of North Carolina. We have mountains here, not so much green, unless you include the legalized marijuana industry, which we don't necessarily count in our green. But you practice now in Asheville. You mentioned Simon, who's also there in Asheville. And Simon Senzon's also going to be out here from Mile High. If you haven't seen him, he's amazing. But you you went to Palmer, and then you kind of landed on the West Coast in Seattle. Had an incredible practice there in Seattle. And then you've kind of landed now in Asheville. Seattle, the name of your practice was?
Center of the Universe Network Care.
So it literally was the center of the universe. Your practice members and patients would walk around calling them that they were going to the center of the universe.
And actually how that came about was I found that as they became less subluxated, they just became total narcissists. So we decided to just like name the practice to let people know what was happening. Now, actually, this is kind of a funny story, Dan, and this kind of puts us together in where a little bit. I was, oddly enough, when I graduated from chiropractic college in Palmer, I went to Elizabethton, Tennessee,
right,
and I practiced with an amazing chiropractor, Lou Corletto.
Yep.
And he was a Gonstead practitioner at the time, and he had this great family practice. He was total into the philosophy, and I met him as a student, was completely inspired by him.
And for those of you who don't know Dr. Lou Corletto, absolutely amazing soul, incredible practitioner, absolutely brilliant. But kind of settled in this little part of Tennessee that like is totally different than Lou, but created this amazing community there and is still there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the funny thing is like, I was there, 20 years ago for like a year and a half, year and 9 months, something like that. And pretty much like that was really my immersion in like what chiropractic really was. And, one of Lou's teachers was this just, again, off the charts, amazing human being soul, Pasquale Sarasoli. And so and you know Pasquale. And so I had the opportunity to meet Pasquale. I had the opportunity to go to his self center. Lou created a self center at his office, like right when I was there. So I was immersed in this very interesting culture where there was literally nothing to do other than chiropractic. So it was the perfect incubator for me. And it's also in the time where I discovered, Donnie and Network. And so there was this, kind of teacher of a teacher, who was Pasquale, and he would say, where's the center of the universe? And, the answer was wherever you are. And then how do you experience your universe? And the answer is through your nerve system. So if your nerve system is subluxated, if you're misaligned, then your perception of reality is inaccurate.
Right.
And that was my version of chiropractic. So I left Tennessee kind of on this quest. I felt that I was in the wrong place. And of course, as the universe would have, you know, here I am, and, you know, 20 years later, well, actually at that time, 15 years later, an hour away in Asheville. And it's, you know, it's, of course, Asheville is night and day difference. It's the same old mountains and a very different culture. And so I went on a big road trip, and my idea was, if I love where I live, then I'll flourish. And so I found Seattle, I fell in love with it, and moved there, set up my first solo practice. And I remember when I first landed in Seattle, it's all these little neighborhoods. And so there's, you know, Wallingford and Fremont and Ballard and Crown Hill and Capitol Hill, all these different areas. And so there's this area called Fremont, and Fremont at the time was the neighborhood. It was where, like, everything that was anything that was cool was emerging. And as you cross the Fremont Bridge, it would say, "Welcome to the center of the universe. Throw away your watch." And I had never worn a watch up until that point. Times have changed. And I saw that. And to me, that was my sign that was like, oh my God, that's Pasquale, like, speaking to me right there. This is where I need to be. So, you know, I looked for space in Fremont because that's where I really wanted to be. And I wanted to call my office Center of the Universe Family Chiropractic, which I ended up doing. However, because Fremont was so bustling, I couldn't find any space. So I go to the person who's like the head of the Chamber of Commerce, and I said, you know, hey, my name is Brian Lum, and I'm new to the area, and I'm setting up an office, and I really want to be in Fremont, but there's no space. And right. She was like, yeah, you know, totally. Good luck on that.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, I found a space that's just down the road in Ballard. Do you think it would be okay if I called my practice Center of the Universe Family Chiropractic, even though it's not in Fremont? And she was like, without missing a beat, she was like, you know, as far as we're concerned, the universe is expanding, so it seems like Ballard would be the next appropriate place. And I was like, done. So that was the origins of it. And then, of course, in that time period, I found Network and shifted the name about a year into it.
Right. And also interesting in that kind of mix of time is we again, this is like the secret history of Brian Lum's chiropractic. You were with Lou in Johnson City. I was at Sherman at the time. And Dr. Lou Corletto put together one of these weekends where he brought down Pasquale Sarasoli. I came up with a few friends. You were there at the time. And we don't have photographic evidence of this, but apparently we were both on the same pontoon boat going out to this island with Pasquale and just kind of hanging out. And, you know, years later, we kind of put that together.
Totally random. I mean, the odds of, you know, there was probably like, I don't know, maybe like 10, 12 people on that trip, like a number of students, plus me and Lou and Pasquale. And like, we're on this like kind of random island that we had to pontoon to. And yeah, years later, we'd be in conversation. I'd be like, wait a minute.
I was there.
Were you there? So yeah, I'm certain we're going to find a photograph and it's going to be like both of us standing together,
right,
holding a or something.
Yeah, but it's kind of those threads in the universe that happen.
Like,
so yeah. you obviously are not sitting in Seattle, although Washington is very green, a different, you know,
yes,
a different background. Right now you're in Asheville. You moved there a few years ago, right?
6 years ago, yeah.
6 years ago. And then you open up a new office there in Asheville, and your current office name is?
Nourish and Flourish. Yep. Yeah. My wife and I went on this epic road trip. When we sold our practice in Seattle, we knew that after being there for 12 years, it was time to take a break, and it was time to like really ask ourselves, you know, where do we want to be? What do we want to do? And, you know, when we moved to Seattle, it was like, I decided to move to Seattle, and I literally had just met her months prior to in the Bay Area. And like told her, hey, I'm moving to Seattle. And she was like, I love Seattle. And that was the move. So everything, you know, later she would kind of join the practice and, you know, help me out tremendously in that domain. But again, it was never like her choice. It was kind of like my thing, and then she would hop on, and she, you know, she's been just amazing in that domain. So when we left Seattle, it was this very conscious decision and practice to take some time and space. So we bought a 1988 Westfalia camper van, and we put 25,000 miles on it, drove through 40 states. We had our list of like, this is what we want in a community. And then and that was 49% of the vote. And then we had 51% of the vote, which is what we called the serendipity factor, which was, you know, we had to match our desires, which got 1% less vote than, you know, the universe's desires, which is basically like the town telling us, hey, you got to come here. And we were also looking at Vermont as an area. And the funny thing was, when we were up there, like, we literally got like nothing in terms of any kind of indication that we should be there. So much so that I was like, am I, like, do I need to get adjusted? Like, what is going on here? And no, I was getting a very clear signal that like, that was not the place for us.
Right.
So of course we landed, there was all kinds of just amazing, like, you know, seemingly coincidences that were perfect that drew us in. And on our trip, we, in the process of Jenny receiving network care, you know, as you know, Dan, intimately and professionally, one of the things that happens when people really like dial into their nervous system and it gets super lined up and clear is that you become aware of like what it is that how you want to expend your energy. Like, yeah. What's your passion? What's your desire?
Right.
And so she found NEA, which is a movement fitness class. It was born the same year as Network. It has so many similarities of, you know, congruence with Network. It's really quite amazing in that regard. And so we both realized that, like, hey, let's create an environment where we can both be in our passions. And we also asked the question, like, what would totally add value to our clients and what would serve us, being that we spend a majority of our time, you know, doing what it is that we do, me, chiropractic with Network, and her supporting the practice and Nia. And so we added this addition of an organic juice and tea bar.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we kind of have this all three in one. And it's really cool. I mean, the bottom line is, and kind of our thought process was, it's like the video, you know, you back in the day when you would rent the VHS, a lot of times it would say on the back, like, if you like this video, then you'll like this one and this one.
Right.
And, you know, our model is like, if you like Network, you very well might like Nia, and you're probably going to be interested in putting really, really good stuff in your body. You know, we look at the originator, Dee Dee talks about the three T's, the thoughts, the traumas, and the toxins that create a subluxated body.
Right.
And I think as a chiropractor, it's really important to recognize that as people become less subluxated, their bodies are going to crave less Dunkin' Donuts and, you know, more things that are going to create vitality in their body. And right. It's, you know, I've heard people say like, oh, wow, you have a juice bar. That's kind of a mixer thing to have. And I just, I hear that. And I think, like, you know, as they're, you know, shoving their Wendy's, you know, bag under the seat of their car, touting their philosophy, it's like, the reality is, in my experience, is that when people's nervous systems get really clear, the level of their choices starts to really increase in terms of the quality of life experience that they desire. And I think there's no better philosophy than your work producing the results of a lifestyle that creates less and less interference to the nervous system. And so the juice bar for me is a total selfish act in that, you know, when I'm practicing, I'm pretty much
juice.
Yeah. Like I literally have it on the clock that one of our employees shows up with the juice. And it's kind of like the Indy Pit crew thing, you know, my well-being concierge, Christy, will just walk in and, you know, she's got water in one hand and a juice in the other. And that means that, you know, it's time to change the tires before I continue working the spiritual factory widget line.
Nice. And you guys have an and you were in, was it Bon Appetit that you guys were, were featured? You know, yeah. I mean, what chiropractic practice has ever appeared in a cooking magazine?
Exactly, right? Like, what are the odds of that? So, yeah, we had someone from Bon Appetit magazine who came to Asheville to highlight some of the businesses in the area. And she ended up, the funny thing is, so Asheville is known as a beer town, and we beat out Portland a couple years in a row. We won Beer Town America, I think like 3 years in a row. As a result, we're getting all these breweries coming in. New Belgium, from your neck of the woods, is now five blocks from my office.
Wow.
Just opened up last weekend to the public. So this writer for Bon Appetit was out doing the Asheville thing and apparently did a little bit too much and Yelped Juice Bar, found our place, and fell in love with one of our juices. And then we got mentioned in Bon Appetit as a result of that.
There you go.
You
never know how far-reaching something you may think, say, or do today.
That's right.
So obviously, you know, you've kind of followed your passion. You know, you're obviously very passionate about what you do. For the people who are listening to this or watching this, you know, what kind of, you know, tips, advice can you give to people in their offices of how they can, you know, better serve and enliven, you know, in their own ways?
Totally. I mean, you know, I feel really fortunate that I get to spend a lot of time with students. I teach network at Sherman, and I also am teaching for Wise World Seminars, which is the organization that puts on the network seminars. And, you know, so it's put me back in that mindset, and it's put me back into remembering what it was like to be a student fresh out of college. And, you know, this was something that really was tough for me when I first came out of practice, and I literally failed my first chiropractic practice. Like, the practice that I had at Lou's office, like, I failed it. Like, I went from building it up to, like, basically, like, crashing it. And it was no fault of Lou's whatsoever. It was 100% on me, although at the time, you know, I thought otherwise. And some of those things you can only know with time and experience. And, you know, that was certainly one of the lessons. And part of that challenge for me was, and I would imagine someone listening to this podcast knows this, because we kind of tend to attract this. And that is that people who want to serve and are so passionate about serving and care so much about human beings and humanity and where the planet is headed, you know, we tend to be people that, like, care. And there's this distortion of caring, I think, in its earlier developmental stages that shows up as, like, nice guy syndrome or the need to please people and want to be liked. And I will tell you, I was a pathological, you know, purveyor of these qualities. Like, I, without a doubt, cared what people thought about me. I got very concerned if I said something that I thought was going to rub someone the wrong way.
Yeah.
And the reality is that if you are, you know, if you're a chiropractor that's doing it where, you know, you're doing it in the model that is most culturally acceptable, which means that you're treating things in your musculoskeletal and you're of that domain, you know, it really, this is probably not for you. This, it really doesn't matter, because you're right in line. You're in tow with the rest of the culture. Everyone's going to approve of what you're doing. You fit in. However, if you're someone that's practicing chiropractic because you know that people are, like, their capacity to be who they truly are and to live life in an impactful, meaningful way where they're going to literally be creating culture and changing the culture and changing the trajectory of humanity, you are not doing anyone any favors by fitting into the culture. And in fact, one of the greatest things that I've really received through my own process of receiving chiropractic care over the years has been to develop a much stronger level of courage and a much stronger level of my capacity to, like, tell someone very directly, and, you know, and being conscious and present to, like, who's the audience and what's going to be the most impactful message. You know, if you're in New York, city and you have a practice there, the language and the conversation is going to be very different than if you're in the Midwest. And at the same time, you need to be riding some level of edge of bringing people to that uncomfortable place where what they think is reality and what reality is different.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's something that I think is really important, especially for where we're headed in the profession right now, that we must be able to stand up strongly, speak loudly and clearly. And ultimately, the best audience that we have is our practice and the capacity to create culture there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so important because I think it's also something that people are, you know, craving in the world that, you know, I think part of, you know, the huge success, which you have with Nourish and Flourish isn't just that people crave juice or they crave the chiropractic or they crave, you know, the movement and the Nia. They crave that community of a place where they know that they can be at the center of the universe, that they can be themselves, that they can be who they are and know that that's an okay thing in this crazy world that we have.
Totally. Totally. And it's, as a matter of fact, we had a staff meeting. We don't have practice hours, on Fridays. We have our staff meetings and one of the first thing that we do in our staff meeting is celebrations. Like, who are we celebrating in the practice? And, one of the celebrations that came from Christy, who is our just amazing, you know, person that, like, just basically she's the glue, she runs everything. She said, you know, it was really cool in this week. I noticed that there were so many people that were having these really, like, rich, real conversations. They weren't talking about the weather. They were really talking about things that were, like, so, like, real and rich to themselves and each other. And she was like, I was in tears like a couple of times that I was hearing some of the conversations, you know, and that's after 6 years of very consciously developing a culture. And I'll tell you that the way that we got there was by, tending the gates of the culture for many years, being very conscious of the language that we use, by very consciously training our staff to include our juice bar employees. Every single one of our juice bar employees has come through the juice bar as being a practice member first.
Right.
So they're all very educated.
They're even better juice makers because they're subluxation free.
Like, totally. I mean, I want to drink juice that comes out of someone who is vibrating at the frequency of chiropractic, not at the frequency of Toys R Us.
Yeah.
You know, so the capacity to develop that kind of culture really means that the practitioner, the doctor, has to really be very authentic and true to the message. And you know, here's a perfect example. So the other day, this woman who I love, she's been in the practice for probably 3 or 4 years, and she lays face down, and she's got one of those run for, you know, name the disease on it, and then all the millions of sponsors that are on the back of it. And it said something like, thank you for supporting Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. And like, I just read that and I was like, really? Thank you for supporting pediatric brain tumors? Like, that's the message that you are promoting, and then all these businesses are representing that. And I know it's very well-meaning. I know that everyone is, you know, like wanting to do good. Yeah. I know that that's the bottom line. And yet, you know, I can't help but saying something. And so I read the t-shirt out loud and I'm like, really, is that what you support? You're supporting pediatric brain tumors. And, you know, she turns around and looks at me and it created a dialogue. You know, I know that it wasn't comfortable. And at the same time, I know that by taking risks in conversations like that, I've become a better communicator because I've had to clean up a lot of like bad conversations, ones where I overstepped the line, you know, and I've made a lot of phone calls where I call a person up and say,
you never overstepped the line of saying the inappropriate thing.
Yeah, never.
I think Jenny's on journal 12 of those chronicles.
Right. Totally. Yeah. I mean, and you know, that's best. And I'm not suggesting that everyone has to go that way. I'm just saying, be conscious of where your edge is,
yeah,
and really look at increasing your edge over time. And I guarantee you, it'll make you a better communicator.
Yeah. And I think the key point in that is really being authentic to you. And it's like, and just as much as people become more of them, we as practitioners and doctors need to really, you know, step into what that truth is. And I think that's so important.
So, it's huge. It's huge. Yeah. I spent many a year, not saying what I really knew was the right thing to say. And then at the same time, saying things that I didn't want to say because I felt like I was supposed to say it. And, you know, it's just, it, you don't sleep as well as night at nighttime with that.
Yeah. And I will say, having seen you speak before, and for those of you who will get the pleasure of seeing you speak, and, you know, you speak with, you know, you're very entertaining, you're very animated, you know, you say a lot of very intelligent things. But what really kind of, I think, comes out when you speak is how authentic you are when you speak. And it just kind of comes through. And I notice that even the words that you say, or the, you know, the turns of words, which you're really great at, as well. Part of what I think, you know, really comes out when you speak and speaks to the people is, you know, who you are. And I think that calls to people for them to be who they are. So for those of you who haven't booked your tickets yet, Brian T. Lum will be live here at Mile High State for Mile High Chiropractic Program. Anything you're really looking forward to for being here on the Mile High stage?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you very much. That's an incredibly high compliment, Dan. And, you know, I feel incredibly blessed to have been in a working and friend relationship with you for so long. For those of you who don't know, Dan and I have collaborated on a number of projects, some of which you might see in some form of media.
Hopefully never seen. Yes.
Yeah. And so thank you. I think you're one of the smartest people that I know. And so to hear that level of observation to me is very incredibly worthwhile and very much appreciated. So
and just to share our type of humor, which we share, is as we were discussing scheduling this, we were saying, well, let's have a podcast. And then we're like, well, let's just have a potty cast. And, you know, we can sit on the potties. And that was ended very quickly because bad idea, but you can get the idea of where the thoughts go.
Yeah, yeah. Viewers, what you missed was both Dan and I doing the podcast from our bathroom, sitting on our toilets, and we were going to call it the podcast. So we apologize for you not getting that. Maybe Mile High Five interview.
Mile High Five, yes. This will be on the outtake reel of the podcast.
Right. Yeah. You can talk to the Mile High Maverick, Dr. Daniel Knowles, about the blooper reel that we can create. So what am I most looking forward to? Well, I mean, I have to say, like, that I am speaking at Mile High for is such an honor, and that I will be on the stage with some of the people who I literally have, like, grown up with. You know, obviously, Donnie Epstein, I will sit and listen to that guy any day of the week that he's speaking. Of course, if you know Donnie, then anywhere where he is standing is so. And I've been very fortunate to be in the front row of many of his speaking engagements. And then, of course, I mean, like, Arno is speaking. And I mean, God, Arno is like such a brilliant gem to the profession and has done so much. And I mean, for me personally, literally, when we talk about Lou in his office, we had this videotape of Arno speaking in the backyard of some chiropractor, I think in Philadelphia. And I watched that video probably over 150 times before I met Arno. And it was the weirdest thing because it was like watching TV and seeing like a sitcom and, you know, watching like, you know, 50 episodes of it. And then for some weird reason, you on a sitcom. And so you feel like you really know the person and yet they don't know you at all. And of course, I don't really hide things. And so, you know, I'm just like, you know, practically, you know, at stalker level when I first met Arno. And of course, he was incredibly gracious. But I mean, you know, I've never heard Dr. Mark Swerdlick, and yet I've seen so many incredible things, and so many people have been helped with the brilliant mind that he has and what he's creating for the profession. So, I mean, to be on stage with, and I, you know, Simon, as you mentioned, is going to be there. There's all kinds of reasons for me to be excited about being an audience member for Mile High 4. So for me to actually be on stage with some of these greats is just, like, phenomenal.
Yeah. And it's going to be amazing to have you out here. All the people who are going to be here, all the speakers, all the attendees, you know, if you're out there listening to this podcast right now, be there. You get to hang out with this awesome Brian T. Lum, but, you know, all the speakers with Brian mentioned and many, many more. Green Book Study, League of Chiropractic Women, After Hours Party, there's programs for students. This is the premier program, not only in Colorado, but probably in across the Midwest. And there are a lot of amazing programs. And we're really just in our fourth year now of Mile High program and building and growing to bring chiropractic center of the universe here in the Mile High State, taking chiropractic to a new altitude, as Daniel Marshall Knowles likes to say. Brian, it's great having you. We look forward to having you out here. For Mile High 4. Book your tickets now for August. Be here. Bring the family. Bring your staff. Get some students here. If you know anybody in your practice who's thinking about going to chiropractic school, bring them with you because they'll get to really see how chiropractic lives here in the Mile High State. And speakers from the East Coast, speakers from the West Coast. We have a speaker from New Zealand. Absolutely amazing program. So thank you, Brian, for being here. Thank you for everything you're doing. For the world and your community, and we'll see you here for Mile High 4.
Like our page on Facebook, www.facebook.com/milehighchiro.